Acts 3. We will be reading just the first 10 verses of this chapter. Acts 3, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up as he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we continue our study of the book of Acts, that record of what Jesus Christ continued to do after he had ascended up into heaven. We have seen the book of Acts gives us some insight, a bit of a picture into what the New Testament church looked like, and then also what we should look like as a church. We saw last time that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. This was the center of their life as a church. As a result of that, we read in verse 43 of chapter 2, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." We have in chapter 3 an example of one of those wonders and signs. The story of the healing of the man who was lame, the beggar at the temple. The story that perhaps is familiar to some of us. When I was little children, we had a song about this story. I'm not sure if you still sing this song or not. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he went walking and leaping and praising God. I don't know if you still sing that song, but I sang that song when I was little. That comes from this story. This story in Acts chapter 3. It's a beautiful picture of what God was doing in the life of the church. And also a beautiful picture of what that means for us as well, as the continuation of that New Testament church. That New Testament church that we read about in the book of Acts. It's a story about a man who finds himself in a hopeless situation. The text says in verse 2, "A man was lame from birth." And we read at the end of this story, actually in chapter 4, verse 22, "This man was over 40 years old." 40 years. 40 years never able to stand up. 40 years never able to walk around. 40 years never able to go where he wanted to, when he wanted to. An ongoing, persistent condition. Something which he himself was completely unable to do anything about. He was born that way. He was a man born lame. And for 40 years, he continued in that condition. This man was lame from birth, and he was being carried around. He couldn't just decide to get up and go somewhere. But he was always dependent, always reliant on somebody else. He couldn't just do what he wanted. He couldn't just run down to the corner store if he wanted to. He couldn't go to temple if he wanted to. Always dependent, always reliant, never able to do anything just on his own. What a frustrating condition. Sometimes if we travel to see family, we might end up visiting my folks up in Washington State, and if we haven't brought our own car, we're dependent on someone else to take us around. I don't like that dependent condition. This man was dependent all the time, needing to be carried wherever he wanted to go. A hopeless situation. A man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple to ask for alms. Day after day after day. A beggar. Not able to go out and do meaningful work. Not able to be gainfully employed. But day after day after day, begging. Sometimes we might have the tendency to complain about our work. But work is a blessing. Ask anyone who's been out of work for some time. This man was not able to work productively. He was not able to contribute to those around us, contribute to society. But continually, day after day, dependent on others, unable to go where he wanted, and no end in sight. This was his life. He had been this way for 40 years, and for all he knew, it would continue for another 40. No end. Hopeless. Day after day after day. He is there at the temple gate, asking for alms of those who were entering. And on this particular day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were going up in the afternoon to pray. We read in verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. That's what he did. It was the practice of those going up to temple that they would bring their gifts, bring their alms. And people like this beggar would sit outside the temple asking for gifts so that people, those who were coming, might have an opportunity to display their gratitude, their wealth, their exuberance about how great they were. You know, it's one thing to go into the temple and quietly give your gift there, but outside in the courtyard where there's beggars sitting around, you could come and make a public display of the gift you were giving. And that's what he was hoping for. That there were those who would want to show how great they were, how much they were giving, and do it not quietly in the temple, but publicly out in the courtyard. And so he would hope for those who would come by to make a display of how great they were, how much they were giving. So imagine his excitement and his anticipation when he sees Peter and John. They're getting ready to go into the temple, and he asks them for alms. And Peter looks right at him, and John looks right at him and says, "Look at us." He was expecting something great. These two were calling attention to the fact that they were going to give him something. He was expecting something wonderful. This was exactly who he was looking for. Someone who wanted to make a show of how much they were going to give. Peter says, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. He thought he'd really struck it rich this time. And Peter speaks to him. "I have no silver and gold." What discouraging words. That's what he wanted. He was there asking for silver and gold, that people would give money to him. And Peter says, "I'm going to give you something. Now look at me." And he begins, "I have no silver and gold. But," he says, "what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The man never expected that. He was content simply to take the alms, the silver and gold from those around him, but he never even thought to ask for healing. He never even thought to get out of this desperate condition. And Peter comes with this most incredible and most unexpected gift. A gift that didn't simply meet his external need, but a gift that got to the root of the problem. His lameness. The fact that for years and years he couldn't go anywhere. Now, rise up and walk. Peter came with a gift that was beyond his imagination. Not money, but healing. What a beautiful picture of the work of the church today, both as individuals and as a body. We as the church pray to God in our personal lives. We ask for particular needs that we have. And yet sometimes we ask so in such a miserly way. We ask for God to take away the sins that we commit, but never really ask for God to get at the root of the sin, to change our hearts. If we speak cross words to our wife or to our children, we might ask God to forgive that sin rather than praying also, and God, change my heart, take away my anger, get at the root of the problem. We pray about such superficial things sometimes, the silver and the gold, without getting at the deeper need. That God remove the anger, that God remove the lust, that God remove the covetousness, that God remove these deep heartfelt needs. But that's what Peter gives. He meets the man's deepest need. Sometimes people come looking for a church. And rather than looking for what will meet their deepest need, they look for the silver and gold. They come to church and they ask questions like, what type of youth program do you have? And we might describe that to them. What type of young couples ministry do you have? And we describe that to them. What Bible studies do you have? We describe that to them. Rather than asking the question, is the gospel preached in the church? That is our deepest need. If God in His providence calls us elsewhere to live, and I think particularly of our college students, when you go somewhere else to live and you look for a church, what are you looking for? The silver and the gold, the externals, or that which meets your deepest need? The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that is there, everything else is secondary. Now, these other things aren't bad. The programs aren't bad. The Bible studies aren't bad. But what are we looking for? What are we asking for? That the gospel is faithfully proclaimed and God is properly worshipped, or that the church has all these wonderful other things? Peter says, what I have, I give to you. That which will meet your deepest need. That's what we have to look for. Not the programs, not the music, not the drama, not the special speakers that come in, but is the gospel there? And that's instructive for us too, as a young church. As we continue to look at what God might choose to do with us in the future, where do we focus our time and energy? It's wonderful to be able to offer lots of different things, lots of different people. We must never forget, this is our deepest need, to hear Christ and His work portrayed before us, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. To come and partake of the sacrament, as we did this morning, to see, to taste, to touch
the work of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you're looking for a church. Well, I'd love to tell you that we have all kinds of programs and all kinds of other things. I can't really say that, but what I can tell you is this. We have what you need. Because God's Word is opened. Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day. And by His grace, Jesus Christ is preached. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Jesus, the one whose name means God saves. The one who came to do the will of His Father. The one who was the Christ, the Anointed One, chosen by God to fulfill the work He gave Him to do. The one who really was born of the Virgin. He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They could link Him with history. They knew Nazareth. Perhaps some of them had even seen Jesus. He'd only been gone for a few days now. This real Jesus of history, it is in His name that the man was healed. A Christ who really did live, who was really born, who really was the son of a carpenter, who really did all the miracles attributed to Him. A Christ who really went all the way to the cross to pay for the sins of His people. And a Christ who God raised from the dead. Jesus, life, death, and resurrection. We've talked about that before. That's the heart of the message. That's the heart of the gospel. He is who He said He was. God's chosen, sent to redeem a fallen people. That's the message tonight. If you are here looking for something, if perhaps even you're looking for silver and gold, we don't have that to give to you. But I can tell you most assuredly, if tonight you confess and believe in this Jesus, this real Jesus Christ of Nazareth, then you will be given new life. You will have the blessing of God. Just like this man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we read that, verse 7, He took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. This gift, this unexpected gift, comes through the name of Jesus Christ. It was in Christ's name that the man was healed, not Peter. It was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That was very, very clear. It was God's work. It was Christ's power, but it was the words and the hand of Peter that helped the man up. When we think about the importance of hearing the gospel, when we think about the importance of having our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates hear that message, we can say, oh, it'll be God who will save them. And that's absolutely true. Salvation is first and last of God. But He chooses to use our words. And He chooses to use our hands. Just like the man was healed in the name of Jesus, it was Peter who reached down and helped him up. And God made the man strong. We have all received the gift of the gospel. And by God's grace and power, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So that God allows us to be used by Him to share the glorious message of salvation, of life from death. He may use us to bring that message. Now, we don't take credit to ourselves. Peter doesn't say, look how great I am. It's Jesus Christ's name that is honored. But it's Peter's word and Peter's hand. How might God be challenging you tonight? The word is given to us in Scripture. And yet, God puts people in our path. He puts people in our sphere of influence. And he may use us to reach out that hand, to speak that word, to encourage them to come to where the gospel is proclaimed. He may use us, our hands, our feet, our words. Oh, all the glory belongs to him. But what a blessing to be used by God. And I think so often we tend to shy away from that. We'd prefer not to be used. But God chooses to spread his word and the glories of the gospel through us, the church. How did this man respond when he received this glorious gift? He is picked up, he's raised, and immediately his feet and ankles become strong in verse 8. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This man could not be kept down. God did not heal him halfway. God did not heal him just a little bit. But God completely healed him, not just walking, but leaping and jumping. And his response is equivalent. He doesn't have a halfway, well, I guess God took care of me, so that's pretty nice. No, he is jumping, he is leaping, he is praising God. You couldn't keep him quiet. I would imagine he'd be telling these stories for years and years to come. I was crippled for over 40 years, and God, by the power of Jesus Christ, raised me up. He'd tell the story again and again. We've had more than a physical healing. We have had our sins taken away. We have been washed and cleansed in our hearts and made strong. And yet so often, rather than this exuberant response of praise, walking and leaping and praising God, we'd prefer to stand quietly in the corner. The response must be in proportion to the gift we have received. We've been given the gift of life, no longer dead in our transgressions and sins, but God himself has made us alive. How can we remain still? How can we keep quiet about such a great salvation? This man was leaping and walking and praising God. And notice what it says, almost in passing, and he entered the temple with them. Up to this point, he'd been on the outside. Outside the temple gates, outside near the courts, waiting for people to come in, watching them go by again and again, hoping for a little bit. But now, being healed, he goes with them into the temple. You wouldn't be able to keep him out. Before this, a cripple on the outside. And now, praising God inside. And that's helpful for us too. That God who has given us new life, God who has changed our hearts, in response to that, we should anticipate and look forward to entering his holy courts, to gathering together with his people, to worship and to praise him, declaring our love, declaring our devotion, hearing again what he has done for us. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking, saw him praising God. They recognized him as the one who used to sit by the gate, and they are filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. They recognized him. He looked the same, but he was different. He had been healed. His deepest need had been met. And they recognized he's changed. Oh, it's the same man. We know that for sure. We recognize him as the one that used to be out there, but he's changed. Look at him now. God has come, and through the power of his Spirit has changed who we are. He has changed our lives. Is it evident to those around us. The fact that on this Lord's Day, we came to church. This morning we gathered together, we took the bread and the wine, both morning and evening, having the gospel open to us, being reminded of who God is and what He has done. Will it make a difference? Will it be noticeable? Will people say, what happened this weekend? You look different. Oh, I recognize you. I know it's you. But there should be this wonder and amazement that we were here in the presence of a holy God. We were here at His invitation to gather with His people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, around the table and around the Word. An obvious change was noticed by those around Him. What will people see when you go to work tomorrow? Will they see that you have been with Jesus? That your speech is different. Your actions are different. You look different from the people around you because you've spent time with the Lord. How will being here today in the presence of our God affect our relationship with our spouses, with our families? It shouldn't look like it always has. But there should be this ongoing desire for a deeper love and obedience to God in relationship to our spouse, in relationship to our children. That it should be noticeable. Oh, we must have been in the presence of God once again. It was recognized by those around Him. Today, God in His goodness has called us together for worship. He's allowed us both this morning and this evening to spend time with Him. We have heard the preaching of the gospel, and we don't say, well, the preaching was so good and the preaching changed us. No, it was Jesus Christ through that preaching. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, something happened. God calls you tonight to hear His word. To once again reflect upon the glory of what He has done. Not simply the healing of a lame man, but taking us from death to life itself and seating us in the heavenlies with Him. Tomorrow, we'll go back to work. We'll go back to school. We'll go back to our families. Will it be noticeable? Will our lives be filled with that response of walking and leaping and praising God? Because we have been with Jesus. May God grant us His Spirit, not only to hear His Word, but to respond to His Word. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You and praise You for Your Word, for the record of the wonders and signs that were done in that New Testament church. And we know, O God, that You continue to do wondrous things. Not simply the external healing, but the internal changing of hearts and lives. Lord God, may we respond to You, not half-heartedly, not quietly, but in every part of our life, walking, leaping, praising You for what You have done. Hear our prayer, O God. For Jesus' sake, amen.